Imagine you've been renovating a house, like for months.
Oh yeah, a total gut job.
Exactly. You've been tearing down drywall, ripping up old floorboards and hauling out these incredibly heavy bags of debris.
And there's just dust literally everywhere.
Everywhere. It's loud, it's chaotic, and well, your muscles just ache all the time. But there is this very real sense of accomplishment in that phase.
Yeah, because you're actively doing something. You're clearing things out.
Right. You're finding the rut and you're fixing it. But eventually, there comes a day when the demolition is simply done.
You run out of walls to smash?
Exactly. You're just standing there in this completely empty, gutted room holding a sledgehammer. And you kind of have to ask yourself, at what point do we stop smashing walls just because the act of swinging the hammer feels productive?
It really becomes a habit, doesn't it? Like, the demolition feels like progress until you look around and realize, oh, wait, there's nothing left to tear down. At some point, you literally have to put the sledgehammer down, look at the empty room, and figure out how to actually live in the space.
You have to shift from tearing down the old to, well, building the new. And that exact tension, that pivot between the exhaustion of clearing out the past and the uncertainty of stepping into conscious creation, that is the mission of our deep dive today.
It's a big pivot.
It is. Welcome to the deep dive, everyone. Today we are exploring the September 2026 Energy Report from the Great Awakening Report.
And it's a fascinating one.
Truly. And if you are listening to this right now, there is a very good chance you are feeling the residual fatigue of that demolition phase we just talked
Oh,
about.
absolutely. August was, well, it was heavy.
Super heavy. It carried an immense amount of emotional intensity. So today, we are going to look at what it means to finally step out of that debris.
And, just to be clear right from the start, we are treating the terminology in this report, whether it's mentioning astrology, energy, timelines, all of that, we're treating it as symbolic language for the human journey.
Right, we aren't here to do a psychic prediction show.
No, not at all. Or an astrology lesson. The anchor for this entire conversation, the core of what the report is saying, is this one concept. September is the month when integration begins turning into creation.
I love that. Integration turning into creation. I think we need to look really closely at that transition because the report describes the period we just came out of August as a forge.
Yes, a literal
Like
force.
this massive roaring fire that just burned away old patterns. But if September is the aftermath of that fire, we run into that house renovation problem we mentioned.
Right, getting addicted to the demolition.
Exactly. We get addicted to, doing the work. We get addicted to healing, to finding trauma to unpack, to just constantly releasing things.
It becomes an identity for a lot of people.
It really does. So how does the report suggest we actually recognize when the clearing phase is finally over?
Well, the report specifically warns about that exact loop, continually searching for something else to heal. It points out that if you are constantly looking for what is broken inside of you, you will always find a shadow to chase.
You'll always find another wall to smash.
Right. And the metaphor the text uses to explain this shift is just brilliant. It says, if August was the forge, that big disruptive fire that melts the metal down completely, well, September is the jeweler's flame.
Oh, wow. The jeweler's flame. So it is the difference between throwing something into a giant furnace versus like using a tiny hyper-focused blowtorch.
Exactly. The energy becomes much smaller, much
Like
less
an egg.
focused and deliberate.
But using a jeweler's flame, I mean, that requires a lot more
Bam.
concentration, right? And a much steadier hand. Is the report suggesting this new phase is actually going to be harder?
It's not necessarily harder, but it definitely requires a completely different type of attention. Because you aren't melting the whole piece of metal down anymore.
Right.
You are refining it. You are welding very delicate, specific pieces together. So the internal question shifts.
How so?
Well, you stop asking, what else must I release? What else is wrong with me? And you start asking, what survived the fire? Because it actually still belongs in my life.
What survived the fire? That is such a fascinating pivot. Because, once we stop desperately looking for broken things to fix inside of ourselves, we are just left staring at this open space.
And that could be really intimidating.
Quite frankly, standing in an empty room is terrifying. If I don't have my, my quote unquote healing journey to keep me busy, what am I supposed to
You
do?
have to actually live.
Right. But how do we decide what goes into that space without just defaulting to our old habits? I mean, how do we avoid just buying the exact same ugly couch we used to have for this newly renovated living room?
That is the central challenge of mid-month, actually. The report points to the period right around September 10th through the 12th as a major turning point.
Okay, mid-September.
Yeah, and it references some astrological markers like the Virgo new moon. But again, it treats them purely as a symbolic shift, a shift from reviewing the past to actively choosing the future.
Got it.
And the visual they use for this is a pristine landscape covered in fresh snow with absolutely no footprints yet.
Okay, I see the appeal of that metaphor. It sounds very peaceful.
It does.
But let's test that in reality for a second. When you are staring at a completely blank slate of snow and you have no idea where you are going, it doesn't always feel peaceful.
No, it can feel incredibly disorienting.
Exactly. It feels like you're lost. Now, the report heavily emphasizes relying on our inner authority to make these new choices.
Yes, that's a huge theme.
But if I'm standing in that snow and I'm, say, stressed about a career pivot or a relationship issue, how on earth do I distinguish my true inner authority from just plain fear?
That is such a common hurdle.
Right, or from the reactive panic of feeling like I need to figure my whole life out right this very second.
Yeah, people really struggle with that because they assume inner authority means achieving this state of absolute, unshakable certainty.
Like you suddenly become a guru.
Exactly. Like you never doubt a single decision ever again. But the report defines it very differently. Inner authority, according to the text, is actually about changing your relationship with incoming information.
Okay, walk me through the mechanics of that. Because if my heart is racing and I feel like I need to make a huge choice today, how do I actually access that authority?
By noticing the physical and emotional signature of the urge. The report says if fear or urgency is driving you, it almost always feels frantic.
Yeah, that makes sense. It's a panicked feeling.
It's loud, it's chaotic, and it demands that you move right now to avoid some imagined disaster. True inner authority, on the other hand, doesn't shout.
Interesting.
It airs the ability to observe a situation without immediately reacting to it. You can, for example, notice a synchronicity in your life without assuming it demands you quit your job tomorrow morning.
So you just sort of take a breath.
Right. The first half of September essentially asks us to literally wait out the frantic urgency. You just sit with the disorientation until the panic subsides.
And then what's left?
What's left is only what feels true, loving, and responsible for you.
So it's basically starving the panic of oxygen until you can actually hear yourself think.
That's a perfect way to put it.
And the report says that if we can do that, if we can just wait it out in the first half of the month, the second half brings a, I think they called it a tailwind of momentum.
Yes, a tailwind.
Yeah.
Because once you've taken the time to listen without reacting, the energy naturally shifts to support forward development.
Okay, that sounds promising.
But we have to be really careful not to overcomplicate what creation means here.
What do you mean?
Well, making a new choice might just be setting a really small boundary with a family member. It doesn't have to be a grand gesture.
Oh, I see.
It might be starting a quiet new morning habit or finally having a calm conversation you've been putting off. Those small, deliberate choices, those are the first actual footprints in that fresh snow.
But, you know, if we are making these new, quiet choices and we are finally acting from a place of discernment rather than reaction, that's inevitably going to cause some friction, right?
Oh, almost certainly.
Because it changes how we interact with the people who are very used to us acting the old way, the reactive way.
Exactly. People get used to a certain dynamic.
So how does the report suggest we handle that collateral damage? Because I know it talks quite a bit about expiring agreements.
It does. And it's a really vital concept for this month. And just to be clear, we aren't talking about literal contracts here, like a lease or a business deal.
Right, right.
The report is referring to the unconscious agreements we make in our relationships and even in our own identities.
Like having a forgotten software subscription running in the background of your phone.
Yes. That is a great analogy.
Like you signed up for a service 5 years ago and maybe it was really useful to you back then, but now you don't even use the app.
No.
And it's just quietly draining your battery every single day out of pure habit.
Exactly. We all have these invisible agreements running in the background of our lives.
Yeah. It's like the agreement to always be the fixer in a friend group.
Or the agreement to make yourself small so a partner feels big.
Oh, that's a tough one. Or just the behaviors we silently agree to tolerate just to keep the peace at dinner.
That is a perfect translation of what the report means. Those old agreements are expiring because the version of you that signed up for them simply doesn't exist anymore.
You left that version in the forge in August.
Exactly. You burned it away.
Yeah.
But what's so important about this section of the text is how it frames the end of these agreements. It explicitly says that completion does not require condemnation.
I really want to dig into that because the whole self-growth world online is notoriously quick to tell people to just, you know, burn the bridge.
Oh, entirely. Cut them off.
Right. The prevailing advice is often, if they don't match your new frequency, cut them off. They are toxic. So is the report just giving us a more polite way to say, dump everyone who frustrates you?
Not at all. In fact, it cautions against that exact impulse.
Really?
Yeah. The text explains that discernment means understanding a relationship can evolve through honest communication rather than needing a dramatic, tearful ending.
So it's about shifting the dynamic, not necessarily ending it.
Right. Sometimes upgrading a relationship just means shifting your internal expectations of that person. Or maybe it means no longer engaging in a specific recurring argument you always have.
That makes a lot of sense.
The text asks a very challenging question, honestly.
Yeah.
Can we allow other people to evolve at their own pace, on their own path, without needing their journey to look exactly like ours?
Wow. That is challenging.
You don't have to turn someone into a villain just to give yourself permission to set a boundary.
Hmm.
You can honor what a chapter of your life meant without trapping yourself inside it.
That requires a massive amount of emotional maturity, though. I mean, navigating relational shifts, figuring out what survives the fire, setting boundaries without judgment, all of that takes serious energy.
It does. It's exhausting.
And honestly, after the emotional clearing of the past few months, a lot of people listening are probably running on fumes.
Oh, absolutely.
So if we are supposed to be stepping into this phase of creation, how much energy is actually available to us right now to do that?
The report addresses this physical and energetic toll directly, actually. It notes that if August was characterized by the element of fire, September brings the return of water.
Okay, water. That sounds a bit more soothing.
It is. Water is cooling. It brings rest, reflection, and emotional regulation. The text indicates that momentum is returning, but it issues a very clear warning: do not confuse returning energy with unlimited energy.
And this brings up a really interesting tension around the equinox, which hits right around September 22nd and 23rd, right?
Yes, the equinox is a big focal point.
Because the equinox is universally recognized as a symbol of balance. But I know human nature, and when people hear momentum is returning and find balance, their immediate instinct is to look at their calendar and just fill up every single empty space they cleared out in August.
Yeah, they just rush right back in.
We treat balance like it's a math equation. We think it means a 50-50 split between going 100 miles an hour at work and then being completely comatose on the couch. Is that the kind of balance the report is talking about?
If we look at the broader context of conscious creation in the text, absolutely not.
Mm.
The equinox isn't just treated as a day on the calendar. It is presented as a symbolic checkpoint for our internal state.
Okay, a checkpoint.
And the text makes it clear that balance is not a static 50-50 spreadsheet. It describes balance as a living relationship with yourself.
A living relationship implies constant adjustment. Like riding a bicycle, you aren't perfectly still. You are making hundreds of tiny micro adjustments just to keep from falling over.
Precisely. That's exactly it. It means holding opposing forces simultaneously.
Like what?
Like intuition and logic, rest and movement, reflection and action. Sometimes dynamic balance means taking swift, decisive action. And other times it means letting silence do the talking.
So it's very fluid.
Very. Right. The objective is not to be busy again just for the sake of feeling productive. The goal is to become fiercely intentional about where your life force actually goes.
Because if you immediately fill up all that space you just spent months painfully clearing out, September is going to feel utterly exhausting.
Mm-hmm. You'll be right back where you started. But if you hold that water, if you regulate your nervous system and only direct your energy toward what actually matters, it becomes incredibly nourishing.
It is the difference between drinking a glass of water to hydrate your body versus turning on a fire hose just because you finally have water pressure again.
Yes, great analogy.
So this brings us to the ultimate question of this deep dive. Let's say we do all of this. We stop swinging the sledgehammer.
Right.
We find our footing in the blank snow by waiting out the panic. We adjust our relationship agreements without burning bridges, and we start bleeding our energy into pointless tasks. What is the actual result of all that integration?
The result is expression. The final week of September is symbolized by the Aries full moon in the report, which highlights individuality, courage, and visibility.
Okay, expression.
But the crucial takeaway here is that we can only reach true expression because of the quiet integration steps we just discussed.
The report draws a very sharp line here between reacting and expressing, doesn't it?
A very sharp line, yes.
And when you strip away the spiritual language of things like aligned expression, it makes complete practical sense. I mean, there is a world of difference between snapping at your partner because you feel ignored and just need to be loud, which is a reaction.
Right, that's just lashing out.
Exactly. Versus sitting down, grounded in your own authority, and clearly stating that you need 30 minutes of quiet time after work. One is just noise, the other is authentic expression.
And that practical example perfectly illustrates the coherent arc the report maps out for the entire month. It's a clear progression.
Let's walk through that progression.
Okay, so first we complete the past, then we reset in that blank snow. We discern what is true, we refine it with the jeweler's flame. We choose where to put our energy, we create the new boundary, and only then do we express it.
Wow, so express is really at the very end of the line.
Yes. We have to integrate before we can create, and create before we can express.
It has a very structured roadmap, but it feels surprisingly organic. Honestly, it takes the pressure off. We don't have to have a massive 5-year plan for our lives right now. We don't need to know the final destination.
No, and the report specifically reminds us of that. It says consciousness rarely demands we know the whole path. Often, it only asks that we become quiet enough to recognize the very next step.
Just the one step that belongs to you today.
Exactly. Just the next right thing.
So let's bring all of this together for everyone listening. The core premise is that August changed the landscape of our lives through that massive demolition phase. But September changes the way we actually move through that newly cleared landscape.
That's the perfect summary. And if we distill the guidance from this September report into its core principles, they function almost like daily mantras.
I love that. What are the mantras?
Moving forward, the invitation is to prioritize orientation over urgency, to choose discernment over reaction, to practice compassion over judgment, and above all, to step into conscious creation over unconscious repetition.
Creation over repetition. I want to leave you, the listener, with a final thought to mull over today based on everything we've unpacked.
Yeah, something to take with them.
Think back to that empty, completely gutted house we talked about at the beginning. The demolition is over, the dust has finally settled, the sledgehammer is put away, and this vast open space is entirely yours.
It's just waiting for you.
Who are you becoming now that some of that old weight is gone? And what might you actually build if you simply stop trying to reconstruct exactly what existed before?
It's an intimidating space, but honestly, it is a beautiful blank slate.
It really is. Thank you for joining us on this deep dive. Take your time in the snow, trust your own footing, and we will catch you on the next one.